We're pleased to welcome from Dyersville, now that his work is done, Trent Rosecrans, who covers the Reds for The Athletic. Trent, I'm just going to start out because I want to get your thoughts on this. What was it like to be there for a baseball game at the Field of Dreams?
You know, it was cool. It was, that's probably an understatement. And I'm supposed to make my money with words, and that's not, I'm having trouble, like, doing it. There are so many emotions it brought that I did not realize it would. And I think partially is that I lost my father in February, and he loved this movie. We shared baseball, you know, the whole thing that the movie's about. That was a big part of our relationship. Last year when they had this game, I know he watched every second of it and loved it. And when it was announced that the Reds were going to be there, he was super excited. He knew at that point that he wasn't going to be able to go, but he was really hoping it was something he could experience through me. It's funny that just the father-son parallels that go through it. Joey Votto talked about he and his father bonding over the movie, and he lost his father 14 years ago and what it meant for him to play here. You know, talking to David Bell, who is
right, a
third-generation major leaguer. And then before the game, I was in the trailer with Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. And we were talking a little bit. It was a complete, like, you almost have to remind me that there was a game played. And I don't really remember anything about the game, but I remember so much about the event.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, for sure. And you're right, there are a lot of emotions around this for a lot of people. David Bell doing an interview on TV and getting emotional before the game when Ken Rosenthal asked him about his brother, who he lost to cancer last year. And so I appreciate you sharing that with us, Trent. It still feels so significant that we're able to get an actual baseball game out there, and nowhere else in the world would it make any sense for athletes to walk out of a cornfield, and yet it's so perfect there in Dyersville, Iowa.
Yeah, and to walk and to kind of do it yourself. You know, I got to walk through a cornfield into the movie set field.
Wow.
It was cool. And on the movie set, Jordan Bastian, who writes for MLB.com, covers the Cubs. He and I had him a catch, and I brought my glove. He brought his glove. I felt like a goober bringing my glove, but I'm glad I did.
It's interesting that baseball and really this facility makes all of those options available where you wouldn't get that on a major league field. Why is that, do you think?
It's the spirit of the movie. And then they build this, you know, a stadium that you can play Major League Baseball on for one game. There's only 7,000 people here. Joey Votto talked about it after the game. He says it kind of felt like a minor league game in a way. Like, it was a minor league game, but it felt like a minor league game, but yet it had a lot of similarities to an all-star game. It was just those that dichotomy, and it was, It was really amazing. And I know it's funny, you hear the people who are like, well, last year was so much better. And yeah, what a great game last year. It was the first time Costner was there. But I don't think you can be here in person and not feel moved by it.
Yeah, it's not so much about the game. It's about the atmosphere and about the nostalgia that surrounds that whole place. Trent Rosecrans covered the Field of Dreams game between the Reds and the Cubs, still there in Dyersville, Iowa, and is joining us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I was pretty blown away when I saw the Griffeys walk out of the cornfield. That gave me chills to hear Ken Griffey Jr. say to his dad, "Hey, Dad, want to have a catch?" You had a chance to talk to Ken Griffey Jr. before the game. What did he have to say about the experience?
You know, it's Ken. Ken's gotten to do a lot of things, but he was having fun with it. It was fun to be with his dad. You know, it was neat. And he flew in today, and, you know, his dad kind of did some interviews and signed some autographs and was around. You know, they're fathers and sons. We all have our times together, and it's it was neat. Ken was really relaxed, and he was going to have fun with it. I had to correct him on the line. He was like, "Oh yeah, I just got to say one line. Hey, you want to play catch?" I was like, "No." You want to have a catch. Okay, cool.
What is Ken Griffey Jr. up to now?
He's working for Major League Baseball, and so he's been all over the U.S. You know, it's so many of the youth games and some of that youth outreach, and that's really important to him, is growing the game with the next generation. It's a passion of his, which is funny because both of his sons played college football and were not baseball players. But like, you know, like my dad never pushed me to any sport. He never pushed his kids to any sport. And his kids grew up in baseball, but loved playing football. And but, you know, the game is still important to him, and it's given him so much, and he loves it so much. I don't know. Here, this is kind of a weird story, but I was talking with Ken and had his, "Oh, you got your glove?" Because he had to have it there. And he's like, "Yeah." And I put it in. And he's like, "Well, you do it with the two fingers and the pinky?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "That's how you should do it." And like, so we have this discussion, like, who gets this opportunity? So Ken Griffey Jr. puts his pinky and the ring finger in the pinky section of the glove, so the last one.
Oh.
The middle finger in the ring finger slot leaves the next one open, and then the finger on the back of the glove. And he's like, "Do this." And I did it. He goes, "It closes easier, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Also, the pocket. Feel the pocket. You're not going to get the bone bruise there." And I'm like, I'm 46 years old, and Ken Griffey Jr. just taught me how to wear a baseball.
That's really neat. Oh, my goodness. Where else would that happen except for the Field of Dreams? That's fitting. Trent Rosecrans is covering the game at the Field of Dreams in Iowa for The Athletic and follows the Cincinnati Reds, which maybe have had an unremarkable season except for this unbelievable experience. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. It's kind of interesting, too, to think about Ken Griffey Jr. and his impact on baseball, and now going back to his MVP season, which was, what, late 90s? So those Mariners who haven't been back to the playoffs since, then his Cincinnati Reds years. But I say this a lot about the current generation of sports fans, Trent, that you guys are sad saps if you didn't see Michael Jordan play, if you didn't see Joe Montana throw a football. Well, we're getting to the point where there's a hell of a lot of sports fans out there did not see Ken Griffey Jr. in that sweet swing of his dominated the plate.
It's unreal. You know, and you and I probably had the same thing when the Michael Jordan documentary came out, and we were just like, we knew all this. And it blew my mind because they're all the kids. You're like, for me, it was like a refresher course. And they're like, "Hey, did you know about this?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course." And you like, "Oh my gosh, I'm old. This is my dad talking about Mickey Mantle. I'm talking about Michael Jordan and Ken Griffey Jr. Oh my God, I'm an old man."
Oh, still, I wouldn't trade it, though, because they missed out. These younger kids missed out on seeing some of the greatest of all time. I wouldn't have traded it.
Nope, not at all.
One of my other favorite stretches of the broadcast on Fox is when John Smoltz was mic'd up with Joey Votto. Now, interestingly enough, we just saw these types of exchanges at the All-Star game, but not in the middle of a game that counted. So I was fascinated by the way that Joey was able to actually figure out what he was doing out there on the field and still carry on a conversation. And of course, they talked to him about the fact that he's a quote-unquote old man and he's spanned a couple of different eras. I'm not sure if you had a chance to hear the conversation. His time with the Reds, obviously, is he's seen so much. The highest of highs and the lowest of lows. What does he mean to that franchise and the fact that he's still there, Trent?
Yeah, I think Joey has a weird spot in the franchise because in some ways he's been underappreciated for just how great he is. And, I mean, think about it. You know, you talk about spanning. Ken Griffey Jr. is out there. When Joey Votto was a rookie and debuted, he was on the same field as Ken Griffey Jr.
Wow.
In 2007. Yeah, you want to hear another crazy one? I'm looking out into the in the stands, and you would see, like, I saw Sean Casey, I saw George Foster. I looked down, I saw Carlos Zambrano, and he was with Giovanni Soto. Giovanni Soto was the winner of the 2008 National League Rookie of the Year. Joey Votto was second place. Giovanni Soto hasn't played since 2017.
Whoa. He's now at 38 years old. They were talking to him about whether or not he will continue playing, and he mentioned actually having a conversation with Ken Sr. about the fact that Ken played into his 40s. Considering where the Reds are, does he ever talk about how it's maybe not worth it to go through another stretch like this where they're trying to find their footing in baseball?
No. Joe is, he's a different cat, and he is, he has a focus. He has, I will never cover anybody else like Joey Votto. I don't know that anybody will. I usually joke that you could tell me anything about Joey and I'd believe it. Anything he puts his mind to, he can do. He's just one of a kind. Heck, I just finished writing about all this experience. And his words off the top of his head were better than what I could writing down. And, like, I'm supposed to be a professional writer. And this guy who's one of the greatest, probably the greatest pure hitter of his generation, is better at that than I am. And that's really annoying.
What did he say?
He talked about, like, you'll have to go. It's in the pregame, and it was unbelievable. He's talking about, like, the how it resonated being here, he and his dad. And he talked about the act of playing catch and how it is kind of a relationship that, you know, it's two people, and you're trying to help the other person. You want to throw it right where they can catch it so that they can continue this, and just the kind of symbiosis. And it was just this soliloquy that the mental state I was in kind of had me tearing up. And I don't know. And I, you know, it sent me thinking about all the places where, you know, growing up, where we moved and I would play catch with my dad, you know. it was just special.
After the game, he tweeted, "Thank you, Dyersville, Iowa. What an all-time experience. You built it. We came," with a heart emoji. Now, any man that will use a heart emoji is a man after my own heart. But he, for him to be around for this experience, I mean, he's nearly 39, actually. I said he's 38, but he's got a birthday not that far down the road. I mean, to be able to say now that he played in this game, too, I mean, that's the type of experience that only so many guys will get in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's just a phenomenal career. And, you know, like, you got to see him play in home in Toronto this year and hit a home run there. It's crazy. I've been there since his first hit, which was a home run in 2007. And to watch this career pretty much the whole way, it's been a privilege, and to get to have so many great stories that he's given to me and made me look good. It's it's been quite the honor, and I'm really excited. I was in Cooperstown last year, and I was in Cooperstown when Kendrick Jr. got in. And there'll be no keeping me away in 6, 7, 8, 9 years when Joey Votto is inducted in Cooperstown.
Before I let you go, Trent, we've talked a lot about him and Ken, obviously, your experience. What about the faces and the words of some of the younger guys, even the Hispanic players, who maybe didn't see the movie or it wasn't a big part of their heritage growing up? How did they feel about playing there?
They all thought it was really cool. I talked to Jose Barrero, who's Cuban, also, and again, the son of a professional baseball player. His dad is a legend in Cuba. And he talked about how cool it was, and he wasn't really sure of it. I also talked to, here's a great story, and I'll write about this probably later this week. Each team got a 27th, an extra roster spot for this because of the travel and whatnot. The Reds called up Chucky Robinson, who is 27. He's a catcher. The Reds got him from the Astros, out of the Astros system 2 years ago. Career minor leaguer. This was his first ever call-up, first time he's on the 40-man roster. And he was called up just for this game.
Wow.
And he'll be joining the bats in Des Moines later this week. But the Reds pinch hit for starting catcher Michael Papirski in the seventh. For starting catcher Austin Romine in the seventh, and then put in Michael Papirski. Papirski was coming up fourth in that inning in the ninth. And he had Alejo Lopez was on deck for him when the final out was made. Well, if the Reds had tied it, Chucky was going to make his big league debut.
Whoa.
In this game as a 27th man, get sent down without having an at bat, like Moonlight Graham. So I asked Chucky if he had ever seen the movie, and he goes, "No, I haven't."
Oh man!
And I tell him this. I tell him, like, well, there's a player, Moonlight Graham, who gets in the game, just gets a game, never gets an at bat as a defensive replacement, and he never gets an at bat ever. And he goes, "Oh, that could have been me." And so, like, honestly, like, you know, I cover the game. I'm not rooting for teams or anything. I was rooting for a tie game because I really wanted Chucky, and I was like, I'm going to be writing about Chucky if this happens. And it was funny. I was sitting with Bobby Nightingale, and he knows my love of talking to catchers. And he's like, "Well, what happens when somebody hits the walk-off home run?" I go, "I don't care. I'm not going to write about that. I'm going to write about Chucky because I care about that." I don't know. Those are the fun things that you just kind of think of and get excited about because I'm a big dork.
Oh, well, it's a perfect night to be a big dork, especially if it has to do with being on the field from the Field of Dreams and all of that nostalgia and surrounded by other people who would say the same thing about those feelings. And Trent, thank you again for sharing your personal memories, your personal story with your dad. You can find Trent Rosecrans on Twitter at @ctrent, covers the Reds for The Athletic. But for tonight, carried away, transported to a different world in Dyersville, Iowa. It's really good to catch up with you. Thank you so much for sharing your personal perspective.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.